Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 7th of May, 2023. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tommy spoke on being God's grace in the world. The reading is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. We'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's lovely to see you all. I see many familiar faces and it's brilliant to see you and it's really lovely to worship once again with you. And praise God, I see some faces that are new to me. And if this is your first time at Minehead Baptist Church or you're a visitor or you've come to find out what this mad crew down here are up to, you're really welcome. And I want to use the word family because you're among family this morning. We gather as the family of God, no matter whether this is your first time or your 100,000th. Now behind me you'll see something going on. And I'm going to ask that these go through again in a moment. But behind me you're going to see something. It is of course true to say that this week we all know what happened yesterday. And don't say that Leeds lost because Lorraine wouldn't like that. What happened yesterday was a coronation. And as you can probably see from these pictures, two of our amazing folks, Sheila and Debbie, got to go this week to the coronation garden party at Buckingham Palace. And the reason they got to go is because of this is what is down here. I just want to show you. I thought I'd bring it to put that in context if you're new to our family. And what we have here, friends, is this. Okay. Now, the certificate signed by the Queen. It was awarded to the Hope Centre here last year. It is a Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. It's the equivalent of an MBE for charities. And bless them. And therefore, we decided that two of, rather than the trustees go, we'd ask two of our amazing volunteers. We had lots of people. To be honest, we drew them out of a hat, just to let you know. Just don't want you to think you're too special. But we drew them out of a hat. And actually, they got to go and be at the coronation garden party and represent us. And I have to say to both of them, as you saw in those pictures, they not only looked stunning, okay, they represented us well, so thank you in all sincerity. I'm also told they were so keen that they were literally first in the queue. Welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. The notices for the week are as per the sheet. There's just two other notices to add. This coming Saturday starts Christian Aid Week from the 14th to the 20th. And you think, that's weird, the Saturday's the 13th. Well, we start early in Minehead. We've got a rainbow fair at the Methodist Hall down the road. The details are on the notice sheet. If you do have anything red you can donate, we're trying to create a table of red things so that we can sell them and give them money to Christian Aid. Can you see Simon? Hi, Simon. That's Simon, in case you didn't know. And that would be amazing. It's also true to say that we want to do some decorating this year, Steve.
We do. And if you haven't noticed, the outside of our building is looking a bit tatty and needs a lot of attention. And we've got four quotations. Two are expensive. Two are reachable. We're not far away. So, got some leaflets here. On the way out, that door, and a pledge form. If God moves you to donate, doesn't have to be a lot, but just enough to get that extra £3,000, we can get the guy booked, get the place done over the summer before we have a bad winter. We don't want any more wood rot. We've got plenty already. We want to stop it happening any worse. So please, rise to the challenge. Thank you.
Amen. We need to do that, of course. We've been talking about church without walls. If we do nothing, we'll soon have church without walls. I love the fact we come together and we have some fun celebrating what has happened and what will be. And we're going to do some more of that tomorrow. Just in case you think church is finished for the weekend, it's not. We have a service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. It's up at the Hub. It's celebrating the Hub's 10th anniversary. Okay? And so we're going to give God the thanks for all he's done over the last 10 years in a short half-hour service at 10 o'clock. And then we're going to ask God, praise God, and trust him for the vision as to what next. So this is a moment when we say, thank you, Lord, but we trust you for what is to come. And just to say, this lovely leaflet has the best words in the world on. Those of you that know me know this is true. It says, Thanksgiving service, 10 to 10:30, followed by cake. Coffee and...
cake.
Thank you. Hallelujah. God is good. Do you know, I was pondering that this morning, and pondering the goodness of God and the grace of God, and I was reminded of a psalm, which in my own life, when life has been tough, when I've been at my lowest point, has been one of those psalms that have raised my spirit. Psalm 86, a prayer of David, starts like this. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. They're amazing words of God's amazing grace. And they speak, spoken into my situation time and time again. This morning, we all come to worship, friends, recognizing and remembering that we all rely upon the grace of God as we worship. And we come, therefore, before him and say, Father, have your way among us. Roy, you're going to lead us in some worship this morning.
We are, but instead of me introducing it, we ask Jenny to introduce the first song.
I'm going to start with another Psalm of David, Psalm 103, the first few verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The psalmist is urging his soul to praise the Lord. We don't always feel like praising the Lord, and sometimes we need to do the same. And the hymn writer, Henry Light, had the same idea. And he said, praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Thy, he's talking to his soul. He's talking to his soul. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee, again, he's talking to his soul. Who like thee his praise should sing. It's a wonderful hymn, and I do ask you to think so carefully about the words when you sing it. So let's sing praise. Oh, before that.
We're going to take up the offering.
We're going to take up the offering. That's part of our tribute.
Yeah, for the visitors among you. Don't feel compelled, visitors, to contribute. If you want to, that's a wonderful. You'll bless us, but you don't have to. But
let's sing.
Let's stand
praise
and sing. Praise
my soul, the King of heaven.
God is good all the time. Amen?
All the time.
Amen. Friends, please be seated. God is good. God is good to us. It's not that long ago that, we knew that. We know that reality, surely. We've been blessed with Richard and Tommy being around us. God is good, because not only is he dealing with now, he's dealing with what is to come. God is good, friends. And actually, this morning, Tommy's going to come and preach, and our young people are going to stay in the service. No pressure, okay? Absolutely no pressure. And just to let you know, our older young people, that is to say, but our younger young people, is that the right phrase? Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, they're going to go to their own part of this service. And I wondered if you'd do something for me. Okay, I wondered if we could do something as a family. They won't be around the communion table with us this morning. But I did wonder if we could acknowledge that God is good. And as a church family, do something quite profound. Okay, so here's the deal. We can pray for them, and that's lovely and amazing, but how much more powerful would it be if you prayed for them? Okay, so this is your chance, because we're going to come as a family together and pray for our young people. And I won't pray, but I encourage you from where you are to pray. And apologies for those online that you won't hear this, but actually, we want to include you in this as well as a prayer of family. So where you are, can I invite you to thank God for these amazing young people and to pray for them this morning? Which means you need to be not English. You need not wait and leave a gap. You need to plough in. Because this family should love our young people. And when they think they've been loved enough, we should love them some more. Can I invite you to pray for our young people? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Start the children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Lord, may we as adults, as parents, Lord, be authentic and full of joy and inspiration by your people too. Amen.
And Father God, we simply bring our children before you. I pray that today, Lord, will be the day when not only one, but more than one of them comes to know you in a knowledge and say, Jesus is Lord. When that moment of realization is not just theirs, but a blessing to you. So Lord, bless them, I pray. Bless those that have prepared what they're about to do. May there be fun and excitement and laughter, but most of all, may there be an encounter with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you are not in Tommy's group and you're in one of the others, can I invite you to go and leave? And can I remind you as they do so, dear church, because as we know, this is normally a moment that takes a few moments, because wherever they are, they're... Guys, that's it. If you go and follow Luke today. Hi, Luke. If you're in Tommy's group and you haven't been given a bit of paper by Lorraine with a couple of questions on, because it is true to say they're going to do some assessing of Tommy's preaching this morning, can you just have a quick word with Lorraine and she'll give you a bit of paper? We want to know what you think. When Tommy came to this church, we acknowledged that our young people had a voice in this and a part to play. And they were, if you remember it, when Tommy first came, those young people were the first people he went to. Because we acknowledge the truth of the prayers you've given. There's an old African proverb, and it says that a child is not raised by its parents, but by a village. Dear church, a child's spiritual welfare, though it's important that the parents have hold of that, it's also important that we join in with it. That we're the spiritual village a child is raised in. Amen. So I want to encourage you to keep praying and praying and praying. Because we all long for them to come to that point where they go, only by grace. Only by grace. Right.
Only by grace can we.
Lord, we acknowledge that reality. Only by your grace do we come and gather around this table. It is your grace that makes this meal possible. Your grace that makes a relationship with our Father God possible. Your grace that heals and anoints and blesses. So as we gather around this table, we pray, Lord, that our gathering may be a blessing. And that we, Lord, as we are blessed, may bless you mightily. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, please be seated. It was an act of grace on Jesus' behalf that he invited us to gather around this table and says, do this to remember me. It's an act of grace that highlights that action of remembering. It's an act of grace that brings us here and says, whatever is past, present and future can be brought to this table. And the grace of the Lord will help us to deal with it. As we remember, we take broken, damaged and dismembered aspects of our past life. And it's in the remembering of our Lord that those are put back together. Mind, body, soul. It's as we remember that we can come with the present reality of our life. And in the reality of the moment, by an act of grace, we're reunited, reconnected, remembered with our Lord. It's an amazing table where we can come and enjoy wholeness and help and happiness. And even if our future seems to be disjointed and helpless, it is this table around which we gather that takes the helpless and the hopeless and gives them a future. It may be an unknown future, but this is the table where we remember that this table leads to resurrection hope. And so we gather. I invite you to gather with me. We gather at the table to celebrate life, the life of God in the world, made flesh and blood in Jesus, embodied in you and I, in us. We come to remember the body that was broken, the hands that touched the untouchable, healed the hurting, did no violence. We come to remember feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lake shore. We come to remember arms that welcomed the stranger, embraced the outcast. We come to remember legs that entered homes and synagogues, danced at celebrations. We come to remember eyes that blazed against injustice, knew how to cry, and saw the potential in everyone. We come to remember the belly that shared table with unexpected people and shook with laughter. We come to remember lips that wove stories, painted pictures of a new community of God's kingdom loosed on earth and of a better world. We come because that blessed body was broken, abused, and rejected. We remember that however we are this morning, whatever the past, this moment, and the future may hold, He is here. We come because you and I this morning together are family, called to be the body of Christ. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. Not only at this table, but in our life together. May we embody your kingdom and remember your life in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this is a table of healing and anointing, a table of family. This morning we're going to, around the table, pray for a couple of folk. We're going to pray for Jan's daughter. And that actually, that today, which finds her in hospital, will be a day of healing. That the medics will take hold and know and understand, and all will be well and healed. I invite you to pray. And with me in that moment, if there are those who in your heart and mind you need to bring to this table for the healing power of the Lord, or you need to bring yourself, then I invite you in the heart or with just a name said out loud to bring them to the healing of this moment. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for Jan's daughter. Yes. Lord, I pray, I thank you that you've gifted medics and nurses and doctors and a whole heap of people. You've given them skills, and there's been training developed that means that they can, Lord, they can look at and know. But I also acknowledge you're the one that truly knows. You're the true healer. And so, Lord, amidst Jan's daughter's time in hospital this morning, I pray for her healing of body, soul, and mind, her complete and utter restoration. Because only God can do that. And my God can. So we trust in you for her healing, acknowledging that, Lord, and say, Father God, may you heal, and may that be to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I invite you, friends, to bring the names of those who need our prayers of healing and anointing. So, Father God, we pray that you would take those names of those folk we've spoken about and those who have been on our heart, Lord, or where our spirit's been prompted to pray, and that you would be their healing God. You would be their transformational God. You, Father God, would give them peace and grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this is also a table of family. Jazz, this is our last Sunday with us. We did think, should we embarrass you, Jazz, ask you and coming up here, and we know what you're like, so we decided yes. So come on up, Jazz. Bring Matt with you. Matt and Jazz are leaving. They're going to Norfolk, which is about as far away from my head, I think, as you can get, isn't it? Close to. Minnie's going to come and pray for you. Is that okay? Around this table. Pray that actually God will bless you in this next stage of your journey.
Father God, thank you so much for the way in which you call us to be family, for the way in which you bring a whole group of people together in a way that they wouldn't have been brought together before. Father, thank you for the friendship that I have personally built with Jazz. Lord, thank you for who she's been here within the family at NBC. Lord, as she leaves on Tuesday and heads to Norfolk, may you bless that journey and protect them as they start out together in Norfolk. But Lord, may you be with her. May she know this family's love going with her from this place. May she be filled with your love and your grace. Father, as she settles, be with her. Lord, just thank you for who these guys are. In your wonderful name. Amen.
So, Jazz and Matt, may the blessing of the Father, the love of the Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this moment, now and forevermore. Friends, we also bring our prayers of intercession around this table. Because we've said lots of prayers of intercession already. But the coronation, a chorister steps out, confidently stood in front of the king to be crowned, and reminded him of a reality. That is that Charles is a king, but he is not the king of kings. And the chorister said these words, "Your Majesty, as children of the kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And he replied, in his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve. A truth for us all. We serve the King of Kings. And so in our prayers today for the newly crowned king of this nation around this table, we're going to use the prayers that the BU themselves have put online. A prayer that will be echoed in many Baptist churches up and down this country today. As our final act of intercessory prayer, let's pray for our newly crowned monarch. Amen. Living and almighty God, on the occasion of the coronation, we pray for King Charles III and for Queen Camilla. As they commit themselves to ongoing lives of service, may they lean on you for wisdom, grace, humility and strength. May they sense your presence with them, guiding and moulding them as they seek to fulfil the duties of the monarchy. In this moment, may we too recommit ourselves to lives of sacrificial service to one another, to the communities to which we're called, but above all to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to the realization of your coming, the coming of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So today we pray, bless King Charles III and Queen Camilla, and bless us too, so that we may all be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This broken bread we share is the body of Christ. It is a sign of the life that we share together and all that we risk together as a community of Christ. Let all who seek Christ take and eat this bread. This cup we drink together is the wine of the kingdom of God, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. The covenant sealed by our amazing remembered Saviour. Let all who seek Christ take and drink. Will all those who are coming to take communion, service with communion, please come forward. And just to let you know, in case you didn't know, please take some bread. It's been pre-cut for you. Please take, and as you receive it, eat it. A sign that we are one. One loaf. And we all eat from that one loaf. Because his grace is enough for you. And then we will share the cup. As we share the cup, please hold on to it. And we will drink together. Because his one covenant was once and for all. a sign that we are one family together. The body of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the amazing reality of this meal. Thank you for giving your very body and giving your life. We remember that covenant given as we share together this communion wine, a sign of covenant grace. Please hold on to the cup when you receive it. And so we drink together, a sign that in Christ we are one, because his death, his life, his resurrection, his coming again are both fact and all we need. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Friends, let's pray. We've taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. May these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for the voiceless, lest our songs of praise be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads. And may these hearts and minds be open to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Christ has remembered us. May we remember Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, Tommy's going to come and lead us and open scripture for us. Let's pray for him as he comes. Father, I pray for my brother, Tommy. I pray, Lord, that you would fill him with the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, Lord, all that is of you, that is of his preparation, he may boldly speak. And may you want to change something, Lord. May he boldly speak of your change. So bless him, I pray. And bless us. May we not just have ears to hear, but may we respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today we've got three readings, Genesis 1, 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And from Revelation 21, 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and we will dwell with them.
They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. The old order of things has passed away. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sheila. Hello. And just so we don't have to talk about it after the service, I have had a shave and I have had a trim. All right. I am, and it's not for any other reason other than Mum and Dad are here, and I wanted to give off the impression that I'm taking care of myself. So, being made in the image of God. I was due to preach a different sermon this Sunday. It was on Ephesians chapter 2. But after having conversations with people and thinking about it and praying and pondering, I was really convicted. I really felt prompted that I wanted to talk, that God wanted us to explore and examine and learn about being made in the image of God. For me, this is the most amazing scripture that I've been reading recently. It's over the past year and a half. It has given me life. It has given me purpose. It's helped me make sense of so many things I wrestled with for so long. And in one sense, I'm like, I want to talk about it because I feel like we've all been deprived of like the depths of this passage for so long. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to talk about this today because it's something I'm really passionate about. It's something that God has stirred up in me, and so I just want you guys to leave this place having a sense of excitement of I am made in the image of God. So we're going to explore this together. Is that okay? Great. Great. And so, before I transitioned into adulthood from my youth, when I was 8, 9 years of age, I had all these different ideas about what I wanted to be. I thought, you know, I wanted to be a policeman, I wanted to be a soldier, I wanted to do all these different kinds of things. And there was this phase for about a year and a half, where I wanted to be a producer of a TV show. And I wanted to create a TV show about thumb wrestling characters that wrestle one another. And so, so there's this TV show that was on CBBC. Matt recognizes, that's great. There's one person recognizing it. Called the Thumb Wrestling Federation. And it was just like characters that would wrestle. And I saw this as a kid and I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. I'm going to create my own thumb characters. And so this is some of the characters I made as a kid. Like, it was various little felt characters that had eyes, like googly eyes. All sorts of creations. And, you know, there would be a TV series and there'd be a finale. And in my brain, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. A year and a half later, that reality hit. And I was like, okay, maybe this isn't what God is calling me to. But it got me thinking, like, we all have these ideas, these notions of what we're going to be job-wise, calling-wise. But ultimately, we're all human beings. We're all made in the image of God. So there's some unifying thing we all have, this unifying purpose we all have as people made in God's image this purpose we have, this purpose we're called to. And so, you know, Genesis 1, 26 to 28 talks about being made in the image of God. But if we want to actually understand that, we're going to have to go through Genesis 1, verse 1 to 25. Because that will explain the context. That is the foundation for what we read in those verses. And I think I'm hoping it will make sense. And I think it's going to be, I believe it's going to be something that will transform the way we think about this. So we're gonna get into it. And so, there we go. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now this word here, tohu vavohu, it's a Hebrew phrase, and it means, it's what we translate as without form and empty in Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. So when it says the earth was without form and empty, it's tohu vavohu. So can we say that as a congregation? We'll say it three times. So tohu vavohu, tohu vavohu, tohu vavohu. Great. A bit of audience participation. That's great. And so the first word is that we translate as formless. It's the word that means like chaotic, empty, purposeless. The image I have is of like wet, icky, sloppy clay that hasn't been formed yet. It hasn't been made yet. It hasn't been shaped for a purpose yet. So when God's approaching the earth, getting ready to create it, it's chaotic initially. It's purposeless. But God is going to bring purpose to it. And the second word in tohu vavohu, so bohu, it means empty, void, lifeless. So it's almost like, it's like a desert wasteland. It's empty of life. There's nothing there. And so, it's tohu vavohu, it's formless and empty, and it says, darkness covered the deep waters. So I take it you guys have heard of the Bermuda Triangle. You're familiar with it? It's this area just off the coast of America where ships and boats seem to disappear. So I've got some statistics up. In 30 years between 1945 and 1975, 67 boats disappeared, 192 aircraft, and 1,700 people disappeared in this 30-year period. And since 1975, an average of 20 boats and 4 aircraft disappear there every year. It's this chaotic place where if you go there, you're not going to, at least in our image, in our understanding in the West, we have this understanding that it's this place where if you go there, you're not going to survive for very long. And so when it says that in the Bible, darkness covered the deep waters, similarly, the Hebrews, they had this understanding that the waters were this chaotic place. That's the chaos waters. That's where, you know, they didn't even have lifeboats. They didn't have, you know, radios. They didn't have life jackets. So if you go on the water, you're not going to last for very long. So in their mind, that's the place where lifelessness is. And so just in this one little verse, the image we have is of this chaotic tohu vavohu place, of this chaotic water where life cannot flourish. If that was it, if that was the end of the Bible, that would be quite depressing. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So whatever the Spirit's about to do to create, he's about to do something in response to this chaos, this lifelessness, this place where life cannot flourish. And so, verse 3, the first thing he does is he says, let there be light. And so God creates light and darkness. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So he creates this place where there's light and dark. And then on day 2, In verse 6 it says, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And God called this place heaven. And so God creates the waters below and the skies above. And then day 3 it says, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what has happened. That is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation." So on day 3, God creates the land and creates the vegetation. And what's interesting here is that, you know, that the word tohu and tohu vavohu, unordered, chaotic. Well, guess what? God orders a place. He counters the tohu part of tohu vavohu on days 1 to 3. He orders this place. And so he takes that wet, icky clay and he forms it. He forms it into like a vase. He forms it into a place where he can then fill it with life. And so, on day 4, he says, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky." And it was so. God made 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the sun, and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. And so, day 1, God creates light and darkness. And then day 4, he fills that place with sun, moon, and stars. Day 5. "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life, and let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So day 2, he creates the waters below and the skies above. And then on day 5, he fills the waters with fish and the skies with birds. And then on day 6, it says, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." God fills the land with creatures. And the tohu vavohu, tohu unordered, vohu empty, he counters the tohu, ordering and bringing the creation, and then he counters the vohu, the voidness, and fills it. So what God does in creation is he creates a place where life can flourish. He counters the chaos. He counters the desert wastelands. And I know some of you might be thinking, okay, is this literal? Is this a video camera footage of what's going on? How does this relate? Maybe you're asking to science. It's like, for me, I would say, let's see what the message is saying. What is it telling us about what God wants to do? What is the purpose of what's going on here? Whilst the scientific question is an important one, I don't think that's what's being talked about here. What's being talked about here, in my view, is that God is wanting to convey the message. He is a God who brings order out of chaos. He brings life and flourishing from death. He is someone who creates a place where life can flourish. I think that is what is being conveyed here in these days. And just interestingly, notice the parallel. I just want to hammer it down. Notice the parallel. He creates light and darkness, and then he fills it with the sun, moon, and stars. He orders the waters below and the skies above, and then he fills the waters with fish and the skies with birds. He creates the land and the vegetation, and then he fills the land with creatures. He orders, and then he fills. He orders, and then he fills. And so, we haven't got to the humans yet. but in verse 26 now it says, "God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.'" So verse 26, it says that God creates people in his image. To be made in that image is some relation with ruling over the creation in a responsible way. It's almost like God creates them and says, I've done this creation stuff, and now I've created you to be my image, to be my representatives on the earth, continuing this process. And so when he gives them the role, it says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then it says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Subdue the earth and fill it. Where have we heard that already? Just as God ordered the earth, subdued the chaotic waters, subdued the tohu vavohu, and then he fills it, he says that people made in the image of God, they are there to subdue the earth and fill it. It's the same thing. And so, what in my mind, what it's saying is that people made in God's image are called to literally image God, be his representatives, fulfill their purpose by doing what God did. Creating a place where life can flourish. Creating a place where people can be flourishing with God, just as God created a place where people could flourish and be with him. And through our roles in life, we are called to counter the tohu vavohu, counter the formless void chaos that tries to take over in life. Our biblical mandate as people made in the image of God is to participate in the divine act of bringing flourishing and order out of chaos. And what I think is so beautiful about this command, about this like vocation that we're given, is that it's so practical to every aspect of our life. So take for example, this is the example I use. When I was living at home with mum and dad in Torquay, occasionally mum would tell me and my three younger brothers, we're having a guest come over tomorrow. And yeah, there'd be a part of me that'd be like, yes, because I love having guests over, and that means that mum and dad, well, primarily mum, would cook amazing food, and it would be wonderful. But then there was a part of me that was like, oh, no, oh, this means we're going to have to clean the house today. But, you know, living in a house with six people and a dog, you know, the house gets tohu vavohu very quickly. The toilet gets tohu vavohu very quickly. You know, that's a place where life cannot flourish. It needs to be subdued by Silit Bang and Mr. Muscle. It's something that needs to be countered. And it's funny, but it's true. We subdue that place, we order it, and then it's a safe place to be filled. Wait, what? Oh, no, I'm in the house. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The house can be filled with people. Moving on. But you know, it's not just the practical thing of the house. It's not just like subduing the earth physically. It's a spiritual thing as well. I think of Genesis 3. Adam and Eve choose to go against God's commands by taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They choose to go against God's way of doing things. And the moment they separate themselves from the God of life, the God who brings flourishing out of chaos, things get chaotic very quickly. One generation later, Cain kills Abel by choosing to go his way instead of God's way. Very soon, the rest of the world becomes this very chaotic place because people have separated themselves from God. They've separated themselves from the life, the God of life and flourishing, the God who brings order out of chaos. They're not fulfilling their command being made in the image of God to bring flourishing to the world. But you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful to his people. He chooses to continue trying to reinitiate this this relationship with his people. He says to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, be fruitful and multiply. He says the same things that he said to Adam and Eve. He's trying to reinitiate this relationship with his people. But the reality is it continues, that people continually choose to reject God. And there's this really interesting verse in Jeremiah 4:23 where it's a situation where the people of Judah have rejected God, and in society, in the culture, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, they are committing injustice, they're committing evil. And so what God says is, I looked on the earth, and behold, it was tohu vavohu. People, because they were choosing not to be act as they were meant to in the image of God, it was almost like a reversal. It's reversing the world back to its pre-creation state, a state of chaos. And so, you know, if that was the end of the story in Jeremiah 4:23, we'd be in trouble. But we have Jesus. And so we see in Jesus in the New Testament, we see someone who brings order and life and flourishing wherever he went. Where there was injustice towards women, he was the one to go to the women first and to support them and encourage them and forgive them and restore them in society. Where there were people who were sick, who had physical manifestations of this chaotic reality, he healed them. When people were choosing to go against God's ideal by asserting their leadership, Jesus subverted that by being a servant. And Jesus, he reversed. He was the prime reversal of this tohu vavohu, this chaos. He restores. For those who choose to trust in Jesus, it's like they're restoring their relationship with the God who wants to bring them into life and flourishing, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And so, you know, when we are made in the image of God, when we are imaging God, when we are expressing the principles of God, it's like it's bringing life and flourishing to those around us. I think of Minehead Baptist Church. We're called to be a blessing to the community. We're here to support those who struggle financially, mentally, emotionally. We're helping bring life and flourishing to our community again, to the extent that we got recognized by the Queen, which is pretty awesome. But, you know, when Jesus says, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he is praying, it's a prayer of, may we bring this flourishing back. May we bring this life and flourishing back where we are with God, where God is with his people again. I think, and so the final verses of our reading was Revelation 21. And verse 1 of Revelation 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. So it's talking about heaven and earth, this new place where we'll be with God, and it says there's no longer any sea. And as a kid, when I read that, I was like, I don't know what that means, and then moved on. But the reality is, remember what we were talking about, the sea earlier? About a place, that's the place of chaos, that's the place of life, and that's the place of death, that's the place of a place where life cannot flourish. Well, guess what? When there's a new heaven and a new earth, and we are with God fully, there's no longer any chaos. The sea is gone. And, you know, I don't think that's saying that we can't, you know, go, like, water skiing in heaven or something like that. I don't know what it will be like in heaven. But what it's saying is there's no more chaos when we are with God. And when we act as the image of God, when we act as God did, creating a place of life and flourishing, countering the tohu vavohu, you know, when we clean the house, when we are supporting our neighbours, when someone is emotionally distraught and we sit next to them and listen to them, when we pray for someone, when we love our neighbour as ourselves, when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, when we are acting as Jesus would, we are fulfilling the image of God in every place in the world. And this you don't need to be a minister or something to be making a difference in the eyes of God. Everyone who is made in the image of God, in every place you go, you can be a person who creates life and flourishing in that place by acting as Jesus would. And when we as Christians pray that God's kingdom would come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we act in all these ways, whether we're going to serve in a church or we're serving in a regular job, you in that place have the opportunity to bring life and flourishing. I'm thinking pastorally about all the mothers and fathers who have multiple kids and all their time is consumed by looking after their children. And I don't know about you, but I know some parents who felt guilt and shame, like, oh, but I'm doing this, but I could be doing something else. It's like, no, you are fulfilling your act being made in the image of God. You are fulfilling your command being made in the image of God because you are bringing a place of life and flourishing for your children. You are raising them up in a place of life and flourishing. That is you expressing the image of God in that place. If you are a worker in a regular job, that's great. You can be the image of God in that place. You can act as Jesus would in that place and make a difference in that workplace so that that workplace can flourish. This principle of the image of God is literally being God's representatives and doing what God did. And if we all do that, if we all strive to be faithful to Jesus and be discerning and think, how can I be Christ-like in this environment? Every time we do that and every time we act in that way, that image in Revelation 21 of a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more chaos, you are bringing that moment one moment closer. You're bringing it one moment closer. And it's so important that we understand being made in the image of God, it's amazing. I get to image God wherever I go. I get to bring life and flourishing wherever I go because I have the Spirit of God in me. I have the power to transform these communities, these environments. Whether I'm a school teacher, whether I'm a minister, whether I'm a nurse, whatever I am, you can be the image of God in that place and create a place of life and flourishing. And you can be God's grace to the world. And we'll continue doing that until there is a new heaven and a new earth, and there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sea, no more tohu vavohu. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you offer us the opportunity to participate in this role as your image on earth. I thank you for those in our church who are nurses, who are mothers and fathers, who are teachers, who are ministers, who do other jobs, Lord, but are doing those jobs being attentive to, okay, God, how can I be serving in those places? I thank you for everyone here who has the opportunity to image you every single day. I pray you would help us to counter the chaos of this world, counter the chaos that's going on in the world right now, whether it's war, suffering, famine. Would you help us to be the image of God in these places? In Minehead, would you help us to be the image of God to our neighbors, to those who are struggling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically? When people see people at Minehead Baptist Church, when people see people who are members of this church, would they see something of you? And would you help us to let your kingdom come and your will be done in Minehead as it is in heaven? Help us to bring your grace to the world, because we are made in the image of God. We are called to bring flourishing and life out of chaos, just as you did, Lord, and just as you continue to do. I pray you'd speak to us all throughout the week as to how we can do this. And just help us to all draw nearer to you so that we can find life and flourishing in our own lives. Amen.
Say, Tommy wanted us to include this song, worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Get to bring life and flourishing to this neighbourhood, to this place, at Tohu Bavaru. Can't even say it right, but you get the drift. We do, don't we? Made in the image of God, if we just grasped it. If we just grasped that reality this morning, simply acknowledged it even, and acted on it, then friends, the truth is, to the enemy, there is no more dangerous meeting in Minehead today than the meeting here. Because if you and I grasped it, if we acted on it, and we let his love flow through us, then the walls of the church would come down. And it's also true to say that actually we're going to do something as a church together. We're going to sing this song, this chorus again, and I'm going to invite you to do the most dangerous thing you're going to do today, together. Because I listen to Tommy as I take on board what the Lord is saying to me, and he, through that word he brought, then it seems to me that the most dangerous thing this church could do this morning is that you and I join together and we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. An act of rebellion against the enemy, but an act of unity and solidarity with our Lord. So we're going to sing this. I'm going to invite you to sing this once more so that you can prepare yourself, because those words that you can repeat so often without thinking about, the Lord says, think about them and mean them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Can we sing Holy, There Is No One Like You again, just that sense when we finish, Roy, and then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together as our children come and join us again. So, dear church family, today I invite you to do the most revolutionary thing you're going to do today. As we say together and mean it, the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As I was sitting there, I wanted to ask you if you'd do something with me. Sometimes, dear minister, you have to put yourself out there, as they say. As there's amazing words. But, you know, the earth could be over there. So if we put the words back up, Brian, just for those that don't know. I wonder if in these words, when we come to that word on earth, how about in Minehead? Now, you can insert wherever you come from. If you're a visitor, that's okay. God loves us all. But in your place, here, now, thy kingdom come, Lord. Okay, let's step out again. an act of revolution and rebellion against the enemy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in mine head as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I know that the Lord has the power and the majesty and the might and the authority to do this. Because, friends, you and I need to recognise another truth. We're going to end with this, if this is okay, Roy. And I know I've cut a song out, but hey. But we're going to end with the truth. Because your chains are gone by amazing grace. So this is one of those ones whereby if we need a new roof after this, we'll give Steve a bigger problem than the decorating. But that's good, isn't it? We want to let the world know, let Minehead know, this is amazing grace. My chains have gone. And may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything you need for doing his will. Yes. So that you may shout to this town and your neighbourhood, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And may he work in you and me, in us, in this church family and his church global, as is pleasing to him, to his honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ we pray, to whom be the glory and the honour for ever and ever. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.